Okay, there we are. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. I had a couple brothers greet me today. I thought it was funny. And they said, "Brother, how long are you going to preach today?" They kind of blindsided me. And I said, "You know, I don't get to preach that often." And they said, "Oh, we know it's going to be a long one." Well, not necessarily. When I was preparing for ministry years ago, this was part of my training. The mind will not accept what the seat can't endure. So when folks are tired of sitting, they're not really listening to you. The difference is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I believe, in fact, I know that the Lord has a word for us today. I want to talk to you this morning. The title of the message is Chain Breaker. Chain Breaker. And before I do that, if you are able to, okay, if you're not physically able, if you're tired, that's all right. Stay seated. But if you can stand, and I'm going to ask you as we pray to join hands. And I want us to pray for one another. For everybody on your row, you may not know everybody by name on your row, okay? But God knows them. You may not know everybody's need, but God knows their need. Yeah, you can go across the aisles and join hands and hearts. And I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will help each of us to be a conduit of His Spirit as the Word of God is ministered. Because I believe God has something for each of us this morning. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we praise You and thank You that You are the resurrection and the life. Greater is He who is in Your people than he who is in the world. So, Lord, we join our hands, we join our hearts. And as we were singing just a few moments ago, break every stronghold, that every spirit of hindrance will be bound in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Anything, Lord, that would distract and keep us from seeing Jesus, we ask You, O God, by Your Spirit, Lord, to flow in each of us in such great measure. We pray for one another as we join our hands. We pray for everybody on our row. We may not know everyone by name, but, oh God, You know us, and we are one family. And we pray, oh God, that the power of Your Holy Spirit will be released to every individual. Lord, that You will shine through the darkness, that light will come into our hearts, and we will see Jesus, and You will give clear direction. You will give divine help and divine strength and grace in our time of need. Break every stronghold. We praise You, Lord, now. I just want to thank You and glorify You, Jesus, for every victory that You have prepared for Your people. We receive it by faith as Your word is shared. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray these things that Jesus be uplifted, in whose name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I threw my friend Jonathan a curve this morning. I had given him the notes that I'll be sharing with you. And so I threw him a curve and I said, now 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 is really a verse I want to use as part of my text. I hadn't planned on it. But when you look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 in your Bible, it says, he who sins, or he who continually practices sin, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, the scripture says. For the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I, as we will come to our main text in a moment, it's so easy to be distracted from seeing Jesus because of what is taking place in the scripture before us in Mark chapter 5. But before I get to Mark chapter 5, I want to share with you Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Between those two verses, a lot happened. You find out what happened in those verses in chapter 4, verse 36. When Jesus said, "Let's cross over to the other side," the Bible tells us in chapter 4, verse 37, that a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water. But Jesus was in the stern, fast asleep. Have you ever felt that way about Jesus? You have prayed some prayers and you felt like he wasn't paying any attention. It was like he was asleep in the boat. Listen, when Jesus was sleeping in the boat, everything was under control because he said, "We're going to get to the other side." But when you're in the middle of a storm, and some of us are facing storms in our personal lives, when you're in the middle of the storm, it's awfully difficult sometimes to see Jesus in the middle of our life storm. So it says in verse 38, while he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, they awoke him and said to him, "Do you not care, Master, that we are perishing?" And he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Nothing could stop Jesus from his divine appointment from going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. We are told about it in chapter 5, verse 2 now. And here's our text, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. But when he had come out of the boat, chapter 5, verse 2 of Mark, Mark chapter 5, verse 2, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. And because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. The scripture says, you know, it's an amazing thing to think that here was a man who was so bound in his spirit that he ran and worshiped Jesus. Verse 7, he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of him. Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. So those who fed the swine fled and told it into the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim it in Decapolis and all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Nothing could stop Jesus, not even a violent storm on the Sea of Galilee. Nothing could stop Jesus from reaching a man and bringing deliverance to legion. I want you to notice what happened at Jesus' arrival. In verse 2, we are told, when he came out of the boat, immediately there met him a man with an unclean spirit. And verse 6, the Bible tells us, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. As Jesus was getting out of the boat, there comes a man who has hair just unkempt. You could just see just wildness on him. And he runs up to Jesus, falls down, and he begins to worship him. Now, the word worship there is not the usual Greek word used for worship. It means homage. He paid homage to Jesus. He wasn't worshiping him. For you see in verse 7, he said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, O Son of the Most High God? What do I have to do with you?" That doesn't match up with worship. When you're really worshiping Jesus, you're not going to pay homage to him. You're going to give him all your heart. Here was a man. You know, there are a lot of people. There are scores of people in churches today who are paying homage to Jesus. They'll go through all the rituals, go through all the right things to say and the right things to do at just the right time, and paying homage to Jesus. And yet the difference is, when you really worship Jesus, when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, it goes beyond homage to real life change. Jesus came to change lives. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And, you know, religion isn't just the same routine. It's a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And though this man said all the right words here in verse 7, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Most High, though he said the right words, he was demonized. You know, a person can have the right formula and say the right words and not know Jesus. You know, how many people have gotten married to the wrong person because the person they thought they were marrying wasn't the person they actually married? And all the right words were said, but the heart wasn't behind it. And though this man said all the right words, as I said, he was demonized. Makes me think of James chapter 2 and verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. You know, the devil believes there's a God. It isn't enough just to believe there's a God. You know, The Greek word for believe means to commit yourself completely to give yourself totally to. When you are just convinced of something, that's the idea of belief, being totally convinced. And that's what happened to this man. He was demonized. He believed there was God. They tremble in God's presence. And so when Jesus arrived on the scene, the man runs up and offers his worship, his homage to Jesus. Jesus would have none of that. But you know, if you would think for a moment, not only do we see Jesus' arrival, but Jesus' adversary. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, the scripture says, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. You know, he's seeking. Listen, it isn't just that Legion was demonized, but how many of us have problems we can't get through? The Bible tells us that Satan is the deceiver of nations. And if he deceives nations, he will try to deceive you and me from following Jesus. For instance, somebody at church, and I don't know of anything like this, but somebody at church says something to you and it blindsides you and you say, I'm never going to that church again. Well, that isn't God. Satan will use whatever he can to trip us up and to keep us from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us settle it in our hearts that we are going to follow Jesus regardless. Here was the adversary. Can you imagine, think for a moment, how the disciples felt? Put yourself in the disciples' shoes for a minute. They had just been on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, you know? And here is a violent windstorm, and the rain is pelting the sea, and the little boat is filling up with water, and their whole world was falling apart around them. Jesus was asleep in the boat. Can you imagine how these disciples felt? They had just gotten off the boat. No doubt they were traumatized by that. I would be. And now they reach land, and immediately as Jesus gets out of the boat, a wild, insane man runs up to him and begins paying homage. I mean, you know, there are two traumatic incidents in a row. Some of us, you know, we're going through some difficult things in life, and it seems, so I've heard people say, you know, it just seems like one thing is happening after another. It just boom, 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 boom. Every time I turn around, there's another problem. There's another difficulty. There's another set of circumstances that I can't solve. So our adversary, Satan, is doing all he can to trip us up. You know, you can be sure that when this wild man runs up and offers his worship, it made a lasting impression on Peter. You know, as I quoted a moment ago in 1 Peter, well, it was 5 verse 9, Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter never forgot that. I'm sure he never forgot that. And the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write that. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus told us, the thief, Satan, does not come except for to steal and to rob and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I was thinking of how the Holy Spirit led our song service today. Every song service just flows right with the message today. And so here was a man that identified as legion, and the Bible tells us three things about legion here. He was demon controlled. Demon controlled. Mark chapter 5 and verse 3 tells us that this man continually lived among the tombs. And no one could subdue him, not even with a chain. You know, this man was so demonic. He was controlled by demons. You know, I have prayed, as many of you have prayed, oh God, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. But before the Holy Spirit fills me, I have to be empty of sin and self. Say, Lord, empty me so that you can fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. Here was a man who was filled with the wrong spirit, and everything he did, he was demon controlled. For he had been bound, as the scripture says, with shackles, with chains, you know, handcuffs. But no one could do anything about it, but he would tear them off. Listen, the title of this message is Chain Breaker. Here was a demonic man so filled with the devil that he could tear his chains off. But there were chains in his soul that gripped his life that he couldn't get free of them. There was a legion of chains in his entire being, and he could not break those chains. How many times have we thought, boy, I've had so much pressure, I just need to get away. I just need to get away from it all. But the problem is that we take us with us. We need Jesus to set us free. So here was a man, the Bible tells us that he rubbed and ground together the chains and broke in pieces, and no one had strength to restrain or tame him. So here was a man who was demon controlled by demons. You know, the scripture also tells us that this man was also demon contaminated. You know, there will be no contamination in heaven, praise God. But here was a man who was so contaminated by demons. Luke chapter 8 and verse 37 tells us that Jesus was already commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had snatched him and held him. And he was kept under guard, Luke tells us, and bound with chains. This is from the Amplified Version, and fetters. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilderness, into the desert. Here was a man who was so demon contaminated. He was just total contamination in his life. And here's a man who's running up and offering homage to Jesus. You know, a person who is contaminated has nothing good to offer. And I see these disciples. They had seen Jesus and his great power over creation. There is a word, I think it's Mark 1:35. There was a man with an unclean spirit who came into the synagogue one day, and this demon-possessed man, the Bible tells us, Jesus told that evil spirit, "Be quiet, come out of him." And that's the same word he used when he commanded the demons to come out of this legion. Be quiet. That's the same word that he used when he said to the wind and the waves, the very same Greek word. He said, be quiet. And that sea got calm. Friend, just a word from Jesus and the storms in your life will cease. But don't forget that even though you have felt that Jesus was asleep in the boat of your life, he's fully in control. He said, let's go to the other side. They were going to get to the other side. And my friend, Jesus is still in control. Make no mistake about it. You know, as our text said this morning, he who practices sin is of the devil. Now, for the devil has sinned from the beginning, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we see Jesus destroying legion today. And friend, the emphasis on this scripture is not legion, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He has power to drive out all contamination. And undoubtedly, as I said, the disciples were traumatized when this man ran up and he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you that you do not torment me. To put it in our vernacular, you know, this man is saying in verse 7, he cried out with a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus? Or better translated, what is there in common between us, Jesus? What is there in common between us? Here was a man who was thoroughly demon-controlled, demon-contaminated. And one more thing I want you to see in verse 9. Then he asked him, what is your name? He answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. He was totally demon consumed. Just consumed completely by demons. And so Jesus said to him, verse 9, what is your name? Literally translated, Jesus said, what name fits you? What name fits you? That's how we would ask it, you know. And this man could have said, my name is 6,000. He said, my name is Legion. For a Roman legion at that time was from 4,000 to 6,000 men in a legion. He could have said, my name is 4,000. My name is 5,000. My name is 6,000. He was so consumed by demons. And I thank God that there's one far greater than all of our life's issues together. We are church family. Can you imagine if all of us were completely honest, okay? And we said, Lord, here are all my problems. I give you the whole list. Can you imagine what a big list that would be? Can you imagine? But Jesus could handle legion, and he can handle our problems, thank God. He is greater in us. So here was a man who was so demon-consumed, he said, my name is Legion. And this man, the demons that were in him were Jesus' adversary. So we've seen Jesus arrive on the scene. We've seen Jesus' adversary. I want you to see Jesus' authority in this situation. For the scripture tells us here in verse 10, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And matter of fact, let me just pick it up here in verse 7. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me, for he had said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Here was a man with his hair all unkempt. If he had hair, maybe he was bald. I don't know, but his hair was unkempt. No, he wasn't. But anyhow, his hair was unkempt. You know, he was very wild, very insane. And he comes to Jesus. And So Jesus, he told Jesus his name. My name is Legion, in a voice that wasn't his own. Can you imagine 2,000 demons speaking through a man? You know, we pray, you know, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or our children, our grandchildren, we pray, and sometimes we'll talk to our children, our grandchildren, and we'll say, oh, Holy Spirit, speak to them. You know, really minister to their hearts. I love our children, our grandchildren, our family, but oh God, just you speak. But here was a man who was so consumed by such foul spirits that he spoke in voices that just weren't his own. In a wild, untamable way, this man came to Jesus. And the Bible tells us here that he begged Jesus not to send the demons out of the country. Luke chapter 8, verse 31 tells us that the demons really dreaded being sent to the abyss. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. That's really interesting. You know what the abyss is? Literally, the abyss is the bottomless pit. It's a pit without a bottom. It's the place that demons dreaded to go. Can you imagine that? A demon dreading to go into the bottomless pit? They would rather be sent into a herd of swine, unclean animal as it was to the Jews. The swine was an unclean animal. And they would rather be sent into the pigs than to go into the abyss. That's the place where the devil will be, Satan will be for 1,000 years, the scripture tells us. He will be bound for 1,000 years, and he will be in the abyss. That bottomless pit. You don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. None of us want our loved ones to go there. I don't want to see anyone go there. That's a terrible place. Oftentimes we don't hear much about this in our churches, but it is a dreaded place. It is a literal place. It is a real place. If it wasn't a real place, the demons would not have dreaded to go there. It is a real, literal place. And matter of fact, the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That place was prepared for the devil, not for people. But I pray, oh God, that none would go there, none of our families, none of our friends, none of our loved ones, that no one would go there. That is why Jesus crossed a stormy lake to reach Legion. That's exactly why. For as we read in our scripture in John chapter 3 and verse 8, 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, for he who sins or he who practices sinning, that's literally translated, but he who continually practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. Now, you may not be, and I pray that no one here is, demon possessed. You know? I pray that no one here is demonized. But if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, we can be oppressed at times. You know, you're a believer in Christ Jesus. Okay? Thank God our salvation is sure in Jesus. But But friend, Satan is our enemy. As Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 1, the thief comes not but for to steal, to rob, and destroy. Satan wants to steal your relationship with Christ. He wants to rob you of God's blessings. He wants to utterly destroy you and me. So Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Satan's agenda has not changed. And friend, you may be a believer consumed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But some of us have chains. Chains in our thinking. We're just people who live in constant depression. They can't get out of their depression. There are people who are controlled by their worries, by their fears, by their doubts. There are folks who are controlled by negative thinking. Everything is negative. Everything. Doesn't matter what happened. Everything is, you know, there's no silver lining in every cloud. I love my mother-in-law who's gone to be with Jesus, but she was a lady who could always see the silver lining in every cloud. She was just one of those sweet ladies. But how many of us, how many people are bound by religion, rules, rituals, no relationship? You know, religion is just people's efforts to reach God. That's religion. Whatever you want to call it, that's religion. Trying to reach God. Christianity is God reaching down to man, sending his son to die for us, who was buried and rose from the grave. Thank God. A relationship with Christ. Praise God. Sometimes we can be so obsessed with things, even as a Christian. We get obsessed that even though I love Jesus, I gotta have this. Or we get, sometimes we have fixated thinking. It makes me think of a record that's just going around in the same groove. Remember the days you played records? and I don't know how many records I had that would, eventually they'd reach a song where it just hit the groove and it wouldn't get away from that. Just the same thing, repeating the same thing. Some of us have fixated thoughts and we just go through that routine again and again and again and again. We can't get out of that groove. And Satan is seeking to destroy us. Satan is seeking to wreck our relationship with God. Satan will try to keep us locked in our grief and sorrow. There are folks, and I have worked in the past in hospice for 14, going on 15 years, and I don't know how many folks, I've done funerals for people who committed suicide. They just couldn't get out of their grief. And friend, I just want to say, Satan wants to destroy your hopes, your dreams. Satan wants to just, wreck your life. But praise God, there is one far greater here than him. Glory to God. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And Jesus has come to destroy those things that are wrecking your life. Praise God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. So whether it's past relationships or drugs or evil thoughts or whatever Satan wants to wreck your life with, thank God that Jesus is destroying the works of the devil even today. Now, Legion was bound by 2,000 chains inside. Yes, he could break off the physical chains, but Jesus destroyed those 2,000 demons and sent them into the swine. He couldn't get away from that. Thank God. And Jesus can break whatever stronghold, maybe in the family, maybe in certain friends. Even now, the Holy Spirit may be bringing to mind someone whom you've been praying for, you love deeply, but they just can't get free. Jesus is still the chain breaker, and He can enchain you and me from sin. He can unchain us from people who are imprisoned. Some people are unbelievers, not because they have an issue with Jesus. They're kind of like Legion. Legion ran up and just worshiped Him or paid homage to Him. That's as far, as the Scripture says, the devils believe and tremble. They believe there's God. And maybe that's as far as your faith has taken you. But I want to tell you, the issue is not so much with Jesus as some people love their sin so much they don't want to be free. They want to have Jesus and my sin. It doesn't work that way, friend. You have one or the other. Jesus will not abide in a place that is filled with darkness. Friend, He is the light giver. He is the chain breaker. Glory to God. Well, I think I just want to share this. And just to say, sad to say, the story doesn't end here. Just one last thing. In verse 14 and 15. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city. Jesus had cast out these demons, and they ran down the steep hill and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. And they ran into the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Can you imagine? They'd never seen him like that before. Here was a man who's just totally wild. And now, he's sitting and having a conversation with the chain breaker, Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the Scripture tells us here in verse 16 and 17, those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Well, why would they ask Jesus to depart from their region? I think if I understand Scripture correctly, there's two reasons that could come to mind. The first is 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. I think that's the first reason. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Here were some people in the city who owned the swine. Listen, as long as they saw this wild, wicked, totally deranged man running about and shrieking and cutting himself and doing all kinds of things, they didn't like to be around him. But they felt pretty good. They weren't that way. I'm not as bad a guy as he was, I'm nothing compared to Legion, here's a fella that just was so deranged. So our family is in pretty good stead. We're not as bad as he is. I think that's one reason why they were upset, we kind of want to keep him around. He's good for our ego. The second reason is love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. Not money, but the love of it. And here was all their profit, their swine, 2,000 of them, going down the steep embankment and drowning in the Sea of Galilee. They lost their money. So they wanted to get rid of Jesus and send Jesus on his way. It's interesting that Jesus didn't fight for his rights. He created the world. I mean, after all, he didn't fight for his rights. But he complied with their demands. But there's one other thing here that I noticed in this scripture that would be, I think, easy to miss. And that is, I see Jesus' authorization. And that is this. If you notice in verse 18 through verse 20, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim it in Decapolis, all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Isn't that amazing? Here was a man who just a short time before was totally consumed, totally contaminated, totally controlled by demons. Here he is sitting in his right mind, and Jesus is talking to him. It makes me think of Mary and Martha. How Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And can you imagine just sitting there? I don't think I would have anything to say. I'd just listen. Just to hear what Jesus said, my mouth would drop. What can I say? So here was a man who had been so totally deranged. He's sitting with Jesus, conversing together. And now Jesus gets ready and he climbs back in the boat. Can you imagine how Legion felt? You can be sure Legion's parents didn't name him Legion, you know. But he had a totally different identity when Satan got hold of him. Thank God Jesus gave this fellow a new identity. And he said, listen, he said, you can't come with me now. But go to your friends. Go to your family and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. Jesus still does great things. Now, friend, I believe, you know, that I don't know that anyone here is demon-possessed. That was Legion. But boy, we certainly, some of us, feel like we have a legion of problems. Doesn't mean we're not a Christian. Just means that Satan's trying to destroy our walk with the Lord and our faith in Christ. He always tries to attack our faith in Christ to get us to turn away from him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow Jesus. That's the safest place to be in his presence. And so though Jesus said, no, don't go with me, he authorized this man. Think of it. This man did not go to Bible college. He did not go to seminary. He did not have any theological training except whatever Jesus may have told him when they talked. He didn't have months and years of training, but he sat in the presence of Jesus. If you're going to minister, take time to be in his presence. Whether it's ministering to your family, you have unsaved friends, spend time in Jesus' presence before you talk to them. Jesus has something to say to each of us before we have anything to say to anyone else. So he authorized this man. He said, I give you a new purpose in living. You got a whole new purpose. Just go out and tell everybody what great things the Lord has done for you. Have you been talking about what great things the Lord has done for you? Every one of us could and should brag about Jesus. God has done some wonderful things for every one of us. Oh, praise God for his great faithfulness. And my friends, he's here today to minister life. He is the chain break. And these problems, these feelings, these personal issues, the financial issues, whatever it is you're facing, thank God the chain breaker is here. Jesus is here. He's here to minister. So I'm going to ask that we give him the opportunity. He has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my dear friends, He's here. He loves you. He sees you. You're tossed about. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's worry, depression, fear. You know, whatever it is. The chain breaker is here. He could take off those heavy chains. Those 2,000 chains that imprisoned Legion left. And thank God, Jesus is here to minister to you. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Now, Lord, You have promised that Your word would never return void. We thank You, Lord, that Your word will always accomplish that good whereunto You have sent it. So, Lord, we pray that You would just loose chains right now in Jesus' name. I pray, oh God, some are just totally gripped in grief and sorrow. You understand that, Lord. You wept when your friend Lazarus died. You understand the heaviness of spirit, the broken heart. I ask You, Lord, to heal broken hearts, lives that are just being crushed by circumstances, that maybe things beyond their control. But, oh, chain breaker, come and minister as only You can. Bring healing, wholeness. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, chains be loosed. In Jesus' name, be set free. In Jesus' name, be filled with His Spirit. In Jesus' name, we give You glory, honor, and praise, O Lord, the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me a moment as we just kind of close today? I'm just going to ask that we just believe God. Would you just take a moment and build an altar where you are? Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Have you asked Jesus? The Lord is present to minister healing and life and wholeness. He's here. And I just pray that you and I will open up our hearts. Will you just call on His name now? Just call on Him. Use your voice. Lift and your faith. Just cry out to Jesus. Jesus, touch my family. Jesus, bring healing. Just call on Jesus. Jesus, this message, Lord, was for me. Lord, this message, Lord, is life-giving. And Jesus, You have come that we may have life more abundantly. Oh, Jesus, break every bondage in the family, in the home, at work. Oh, God, the issues we face at work, employees and all the misunderstandings. Oh, God in heaven. Break them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Be set free for the glory of God. Well, Brother Denny, would you please come? And let me just give you this one, my brother.
Lord, thank you. Aren't we a blessed congregation to have the O'Briens with us? Wonderful, wonderful people. You know, Pastor talks about them a lot about, you know, they were in pastored for 50 years and such a great legacy is how personable they are. If you haven't had a chance to meet them, and they have a way of making you feel like family and just wonderful, wonderful people. So we're truly blessed to have them in our congregation with us. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing and nothing broken. And go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.